Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 9 of the Weekly Freestyle. We're doing another episode where we're both together, which is brilliant. We're both in the same room working with the same mic, and we're actually both in Spain on our trip, which we've spoken about a little bit in the past. We're out in Marbella on a little bit of a lad's holiday, I'd say, but you know, we're going to get a little bit of golfing in, but we're just getting away and it's kind of our last bit of holiday before we both get back to our jobs. We're out here with 8 of us lads, nice little villa close to Puerto Banús. But we've got another special episode for you guys, you know, another deep dive into an interesting topic.
Yeah, it's unreal. We've made it. I know you were away as well last week, mm-hmm. really enjoying that off season down in Cornwall. It's nice to be here, but it took a while. I've only just got my suitcase, and this is the second day. A little bit of a nightmare having to trek basically an hour down the road back to Gibraltar. Out of my own pocket, which wasn't ideal. Not the best start to the holiday.
No, pretty shocking actually from British Airways. And you know, I'm not gonna start bad mouthing them or anything. But you know, you pay for yourself and your luggage to get delivered, and then they end up leaving just your suitcase. After everyone on the flight was
just the one. The best thing was that the golf clubs made it, but the suitcase and the clothes didn't. But
shocking.
Had the Xbox and everything else we needed to hand. So it's all good. But yeah, as you mentioned, Tom, we're speaking about training camps today.
We are.
I know you've been on a lot. I've been on a few myself. So where do you want to start?
So I think we're going to jump in. I was having a little think about how I could talk about training camps coming onto this episode, because they're such an important part of how a season kind of builds up, but also how an Olympic quad builds up, because you do training camps at certain times to replicate certain environments, for example, and to really kind of build that base of training over the 4 years. You know, breaking it down into each individual season. But I was thinking about it, and there are three main types of training camp, at least three main types that I've been on. First, a warm weather camp. So, you know, so these are your Australias, your Turkeys, yeah. I've been South Africa, British Army have done trips out to Thailand, for example. So these are your warm weather training camps. The second one is the altitude training camps, pretty self-explanatory. And British Army do them to Sierra Nevada in Spain, I believe. There's one to Doha, if I'm not mistaken, and then the main one we do is to Flagstaff in Arizona. So there, that's the second one. The third one is unique. It's slightly different to the other two, and it's called a holding camp. So it's the last week, 2 weeks, 10 days before a major competition, where you're in the city where you're going to compete, or at least very close to the city where you're going to compete, and you are just doing the very, very fine-tuning kind of last few days of prep while being in that competition environment. So three very different camps, all for very different reasons at different points throughout the season, but all, you know, something that we can really deep dive into.
Yeah, and how many of these different camps have you been on? I mean, have you been to altitude?
So I've been to altitude twice. I've been warm weather, I want to say three times. And I've obviously holding camps. I've done probably over 5 holding camps.
And did you ever go before, obviously you became a part of British Swimming, or is this mainly a British Swimming thing? You're getting taken out there.
It is mainly a British Swimming thing, and you've got to kind of be in a national centre really to access these camps. A lot of small swimming clubs do provide training camps for their athletes, but I came from Maidenhead, which is quite a small club with a small budget, so we never went. A lot of clubs go to Lanzarote, that's a big one for them. You know, Tenerife, Lanzarote, they're the two big ones for Mallorca being another one for small home clubs. The only one we ever went to was Crystal Palace in South London.
which is a lovely place.
A lot of pigeons in that pool. Okay. You know, they fly.
Well, you stayed at Crystal Palace.
We stayed at Crystal Palace and we trained there for a week
with Maidenhead
when I was about 12 years old.
Nice.
And that was the only camp I did for my 10 years at that swimming club. They've since started going to Lanzarote, but I missed out on that one, unfortunately.
You'll have to get back involved.
I might have to.
Yeah, and I've been on a couple myself. I've been a couple of times to Portugal. And I guess they would be classed as training camps. We did it off our own back in our university group, but they were good fun, jumping on the track and doing stuff like that. I think another way in which people could relate to training camps for everyone is when you're going on holiday, say like what we're doing at the moment or previously, you still want to get a few runs in or get to the gym. So rather than it being that full-on training camp, it's how can you fit it in? You know, you're in a new environment, maybe you have to do a bit of cross-training and things like that. So what would you say is the favourite camp, your favourite camp you've ever been on?
That's a tough question. I think first off the bat, you talked about fitting training around new environments. I get asked all the time, why on earth do you fly to Australia, to the Gold Coast of Australia, every single year for a month to do a training camp when you have a 50-metre Olympic-sized swimming pool in Bath?
Or Crystal Palace.
You have a gym, you know, you have access to everything. Why people say, why do you spend thousands doing it? And I don't think until you're an athlete and you've really experienced the benefits of a training camp, you can quite understand why it is so important. So for us, warm weather camps, obviously, there's a lot of scientific research to discuss about the red blood cell production while you're training out there because of the heat that can have a lot of beneficial effects.
So actually, heat affects your red blood cells.
Heat does affect your red blood cells. So that's why you do warm weather and then altitude. A lot of people think altitude is why you go, as in for the training, why you do an altitude. But the main reason you go is because the training you do at altitude allows you to increase your red blood cell count to train even better when you get back to sea level.
Right.
So the 3 weeks post an altitude camp are some of the best 3 weeks of training any athlete will do in their life because their red blood cell count is so much higher. So it's really interesting how you can deep delve into the physiology of these camps and why they're so important. But it's not only the physiology and the physical benefits that you get from training camps, it's the mental benefits because you're living and breathing this sport. Your one sole focus is to train and to recover. And when you're back in the UK, obviously you have distractions, family, friends, relationships, commuting, cooking, cleaning, you know, bills to pay. It's normal life and you're training alongside it. When you're on camp, it's very much a sole focus. And I think that's why I always say my best ever training camp was one I did in April of this year, so April of 2022. Yeah. My group in Bath and myself and my two coaches, Dave McNulty and the assistant coach at the time, Ben Reed, and our strength and conditioning coach, Andy Elkins, we all went out to Turkey, to Antalya, to the Glorious Sports Resort, and we stayed for 2 weeks and we did a training camp at staying at an all-inclusive resort. Now, that might sound like, oh, you know, you're living the life, getting to, you know, have all these meals and food put on for you. But actually, when you strip away every other distraction for an athlete and they're left purely with the best facilities for training they can possibly be provided with, followed immediately by the best nutrition, straight off the back, a wide variety, fresh fruit, veg, meat, everything, no cooking, no cleaning. They can sleep, you can nap, you rest really well. The facilities are really great. It's everything is made for you to get the most out of your training. And not just one training session, but to recover and get the most out of the following one. So that's why I think that's the best training camp I've ever done. But like I said, they all have different benefits.
Yeah, that almost sounds like the dream camp. Is there anything you'd add to it compared to that one? Or would you just run that one over again?
I think it was absolutely perfect because it was right off the back of British Champs. It wasn't a holding camp where you're so strict with every minute of your day and you're living to such a high level of...
Yeah, the holding camps seem a little bit less glamorous than that.
Slightly, they're very much... It's not stress, but it's a level of, you know, adrenaline and alertness. You're always slightly on edge.
And
because
also,
you're
pre-competition and pre-race, aren't you? Whereas if you're out in Turkey, you're maybe months before competition.
Holding camps are a tricky one because you do a lot of race-pace sets in holding camps and it can really make or break your meet. So, for example, before the Olympics, I did a race-pace session and I did the front half of my 200-meter freestyle. And if that had gone terribly, it would have really knocked me. This was, you know, 7 days before I stepped up for the final of the Olympic Games. But it went quicker than I've ever gone before, which scared me again, but for a different reason. Because it was kind of like, oh my goodness, I'm about to, you know, I'm going to do something I've never done before. I could just feel it in myself. So they're much more high stress, much more of a mental game. Turkey, out on camp, we're playing volleyball in the sun, you know, we were swimming in the sea, we're relaxing, we're eating well, you're with your friends, it's a relaxed environment, but it's a switched on environment, and everyone's got this same goal, and they want to train hard, and you're in that flow state that I think all coaches dream their athletes could be in all the time. The coaches are relaxed, you know, it's great going on British swimming camps, but when you go on a camp with just your squad, Yeah. It's very much you do your own thing and the coach gets to do exactly and coach just how he wants to, you know, not answering to anyone else and really execute the camp how they want. So that was a perfect camp for me.
Yeah, it must be quite a weird environment, can be a fun environment. Mm-hmm. I know potentially from the camps that I've been, it can be a tricky environment at times because just looking back to our camps, say it isn't going well for you, you're almost in this bubble and there's nowhere to go. And I've had it myself, or other people have had it where, say, we're going out to do a session, maybe you have a bit of a shocker session, or you're not feeling good for that week, and then you've got nowhere to go. So suddenly this idea of being everything's there for you, kind of everything you're doing is thinking about your training. Actually, could it possibly backfire? Because if you get into that place, you're stuck there for the next week or so.
I think it absolutely can. Unfortunately, I've never experienced that. Something that genuinely scares me is getting to a holding camp and having a shocker of a camp. Yeah. That is the stuff of nightmares. That's the stuff no athlete wants to think about. And that's actually one of my biggest motivations for training throughout the year.
Yeah.
Is I don't want to rock up at a competition and feel like that, because it would just be, or I'd start panicking, I think. It would be not where you want to be. And I know for a fact that certain athletes turned up to that Olympic holding camp in not the best shape in their life.
And do you see it?
You see it, people. And you really start to see the panic in their eyes, because it's realizing that 3, 4, 5 days after that, they'll be walking out on the Olympic stage for the biggest competition of your career, something you only get 1 or 2 shots at.
Yeah.
And they're not ready.
It sounds a bit like your GCSEs or your A-levels in that mock. Or maybe in the canteen and on the morning of it, and you're sharing a few questions and some of your mates have got no idea what's going on.
I'd
say I felt a little bit like that before the biology A level.
Or when you come out and everyone like compares answers and they're like 3.2, 3.1, you got like 604 or something.
Great, this is going to go well. And yeah, I mean, personally, I'm fitting it into more the holiday side of things and obviously going to different places. You mentioned you're in South Africa. I remember one particular time I was actually away with my grandma and we went up to Canada to go and see the polar bears. I know the BBC did a show on it, but I think it was probably the weirdest one I've ever had, because there was actually a curfew in a place called Churchill, because obviously the polar bears are wandering around. And it gets to a point at about 10 p.m. where they set a siren off. And I've been in places in the States as well, and my family, but probably best you stick to the gym. Don't want you going too far or getting lost. But this is one place where actually when it sort of strikes 10 o'clock, you can't run, you can't go anywhere. For the fear of getting attacked by a polar bear. So that was one time where I actually had to take the swimming session, and then actually the walk back to the cabin was a little bit of a scary one.
Goodness me.
It was past the curfew.
That is kind of crazy to us. That's really like working around your environment, isn't it? And you actually had another story about another camp you've been on, haven't you? It was in Portugal?
Yeah, this is actually a uni trip, and I think it was in Porto or somewhere around the Algarve potentially, and I went out in the evening just as it was getting dark to get a few miles in, and I remember saying to my mate, maybe it's best I don't go, but got it out, went out, but because the landscape was quite hilly and I was planning to sort of use a stadium as my waypoint, and obviously gradually it got dark and I lost where I was. I was never that far away, but I genuinely had no idea, and as I say, because the gradients were pretty tricky, I actually had to use the GPS Garmin function on my watch to send me back to where I started. So I was using my watch saying literally 0.2 in this direction because I had absolutely no idea where I was going.
Goodness me, not what you want. At least there were no polar bears about.
Yeah, no polar bears that one. But I think I would have given the lecturers a bit of a tricky one if I'd not returned. So yeah, that wasn't ideal. Is there any other stories you've got from your camps? I mean, if you've been out to South Africa, was that a good one? In terms of the extra stuff?
I think South Africa was a good one. I think these camps can really make or break a team. If there's a divide within a squad, then they get accentuated because you're spending so much time with these people. You know, the small things that might annoy you on a session, you know, a 2-hour session on a Wednesday afternoon, when you're spending 2 solid weeks with people, they really can, you know, really... people really start to bite and really start to, you know, get, there can be some clashes like it would be in any social situation when you go away with a group, just like if you go away with your mates, you know, you can be best pals, but you know, well, yeah, we're away on a lads'
holiday. We're best pals
for now, but get to Friday and this might be a completely different story.
Yeah, this might be the last ever episode of the
So what I found is sometimes the coaches, this shows a real hallmarks of a great coach, a great man manager and a great leader. And I've had it on a number of different camps I've been on, not just with my squad in Bath, but when I've been away with other teams as well. And the coaches or team managers have had to pull the team aside and really, you know, get everyone out in the open and say, this is working, this isn't working. You need to voice your concerns and you need to basically start with a clean slate, because you cannot go into a training session with negative emotions, with you know, a divide in the squad and a breakup. That's just, it's never going to benefit the training environment, which is what you're there to do. So a few stories of people kind of going a bit head-to-head on these camps, but it's never, nothing too bad's ever happened, I don't think. A funny story is we went to Australia for a training camp in March of 2020, which, as you know, is right before lockdown started. And we were staying right near the sea. We're on the Gold Coast of Australia. And one afternoon, we had to do some stand-up swims. So it's where you replicate a race situation.
So off the blocks.
Off the blocks. So it was a heat in the morning and a final in the evening. So you get suited up.
Properly.
Do a race warm-up. I had a stand-up 200 free. So they're called stand-up swims. I did 200 free heat in the morning. I went 149, which I was buzzing with, you know, because we're in the middle of hard training.
Yeah.
You know, we're outdoors. I was absolutely buzzing with that. My PB at the time was 147. 149 in the morning, I'm like, I was absolutely mint. You know, I'm going to go 148. I might even get close to my PB.
Yeah.
But it was so relaxed because we're on camp. Jimmy, my training partner, and I went fishing between heats and finals, caught a few fish. We're gutting them about an hour before we're supposed to step on the blocks to do these finals, because we wanted to have a bit of, you know, try these local fish out for dinner that night. Finished gutting them, packed them in a bag, went to the pool, did my race warm up, dive in, stand up 200, 146.2 PB, nice. And it was the fastest time in the country.
Wow. And you had fish for dinner.
And I had a lovely bit of fresh fish for dinner. So it was, that's always kind of something I look back of fondly, and I was 19 at the time, and we were just about to head to Olympic trials in April of 2020. And I was feeling mint. We're just about to taper. I went to Edinburgh and I went 146 flat, another PB, you know, a week after, while I was still jet lagged. I was like, I cannot wait to start tapering and get to trials. This is really going to, it's really going to set the world alight. And then we went into 10 weeks of lockdown.
And then everything
And everything changed after that. But I do look back on that Australia camp very fondly, and we're heading back to the Gold Coast of Australia in February 23.
Is that the next camp for you? Kind of next year, have you got a few lined up, ready to go?
We're actually doing a relay camp for 3 days in Loughborough. All the relay swimmers are coming together in Loughborough in the end of September, and we're doing team building exercise. I think we're going to do obviously some training, some relay takeover and stuff, but apparently we're doing like work with the local military or police force, and they're putting us in these, you know, tough situations. You've got to see, you know, real kind of team bonding stuff, which is exciting. I'll have a holding camp for World Short Course Championships, which I think I'm going to do in December of 2022 in Melbourne, and then the next camp will be the Australia warm weather in February 23.
Perfect. So I think we can both agree that camps are a good way forward.
We love training camps.
Beautiful stuff. I think we're going to hit 1,000 views this week. We said we'd probably be close at the end of episode 8. But episode 9, I think it's going to happen. Mm-hmm, so we promised we'd do a drop, a giveaway. What are we thinking?
So we did promise we'd do a drop. So there will be a signed pair of Speedo Speed Socket 2 goggles. So the exact same pair that I race in, that we will be giving away, signed by the two hosts of the Weekly Freestyle.
Do you think people want my signature?
Of course they do. Absolutely they do. The man who survived a polar bear attack. we'll be giving it away. We will be posting about it on the Instagram at the Weekly Freestyle, the_weekly_freestyle.
Yeah. Drop us an email as well if you fancy.
Drop an email, drop us a DM, get in touch with anyhow, any suggestions, questions, and if you want to enter your name into the draw, please get in touch. All we ask is that you comment on our photo and you comment three names of pals. Get three pals involved.
Let them know we're here. Let them know
spread
what
the
we're
word
about.
Spread the word, and you will be in with the chance.
There could be quite a good chance of winning these.
Honestly, yeah. We haven't got loads of others. But we have got 1,000 listeners.
That's true.
And thank you very much to every single one of those 1,000 listeners.
We appreciate that.
We love the support.
Yeah, we love doing it every week. And as I say, I think as hopefully grow, we really want to hear what you guys want us to talk about and get that kind of thing involved. So yeah, literally you will have a good chance. So yeah, please do enter that. I think we're going to move to the freestyle section of the pod now. We're going to head on outside and grab some of our mates. We're going to play a little game of swimming articulate, me v you.
Yeah, we are. So we have, like we said, there's eight of us, six of the lads, including and then myself and Sutton. We are going to play a little bit of game of swimming articulate. So we're going to head outside. So obviously, the audio is about to change. But yeah,
so watch out for that in the car.
Watch out, yeah, you might have to change the volume settings.
This could be where our relationship ends for the week.
Could
as
be,
well.
Could be.
This could be where we don't see eye to eye.
Or we could see how awful our mate's swimming knowledge is.
Yeah,
as well.
True, all that. Yeah, I look forward to this.
I'll catch you in a bit.
Let's get out there.
We're now outside, recording the second part of the pods. We're on the freestyle section. We've got the six other lads who are on holiday with us, and we're just going to go around and quickly introduce everyone before we kick off the game.
Can I just say that Kai has literally just woken up?
Here. Actually, Tim, and he's having a cold beverage.
Lukewarm,
and he's ready to play the game. So we'll start with Lukey.
Yeah, I'm Luke. Second appearance on the pod. Probably the most interesting thing.
What about you?
What about me? Yeah.
How do you know suits?
Oh, I know suits through through Tom, really.
Nice.
I know Tom through swimming.
There we go.
Nice. I'm Jacob. I've known Alex for about 10 years, and I managed to stop him from playing rugby. The best thing.
Thanks for that.
My name's G. I met Tom a few years back. I lived with him in university last year.
Sorry.
It's Kai now.
Just woken up.
My name's Kai. Know Tom. I used to swim with him when I was younger. Met Suts through that as well.
I'm Perry. I've known Suts for about 2 years, probably.
There goes a bit.
I know most for being a right back on pro clubs.
How many Div 1 titles?
9, I think.
Wow, not bad.
Only 9.
Hi, my name's Fred. I'm a Bath lad. I met Tom a few years ago at uni. Met Alex through him.
Good stuff.
Fantastic.
Good stuff. So we're going to start the game. It's basically articulate with swimming words. And we're going 2 teams of 3. So we've got Luke, Jacob and Jay on one team.
Wait.
And then we got Kai, Perry and Fred on the other. So we've got Kai and Luke, obviously the two lads I swam with, so the two other swimmers on the holiday, they're each on one team, so it should be quite fair.
Trying to split the yeah, knowledge up.
Exactly.
I don't think much knowledge is going to be needed.
And lack of.
No, it might be quite.
So we're going to go 1 minute each. Do you want to kick us off?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll give you my phone, if you just put a timer up.
Kaiser Chiefs.
All right, we're going to start with Alex's team first, and his time starts now.
Okay, so if you at the start of the race, but you go too early, you get...
False start.
It's a
start.
Beginning with D.
Yes.
Fast American swimmer of all time.
Michael Phelps.
Yeah, 4 strokes.
Front crawl, back stroke.
No, what's the event called?
Oh, medley. Individual medley.
Yep, okay, Jake, this is one for you. The big Olympics that happened in England.
London 2012.
Yes. It's not a tempo session, it's quite similar. If you're working at a certain heart rate.
Threshold.
Yes. He's sponsored by them.
Speedo.
If you do it in football a lot, and rather than a paddle float, it's for
pool boy.
What do you do with your legs in swimming? Yeah, and
board.
Yes. If two swimmers are tied with the same time, you have a
draw.
A swim off.
Yeah.
It's an animal.
It's an animal.
Dolphin.
That's
your time. That's 7 or 8.
That could have been better, couldn't it?
I think that was 7.
That wasn't too bad.
How many was that? Where did you get up to?
We didn't quite get butterfly.
Okay, so you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Wow.
Ooh. Okay, so yeah, made to beat. Yes, boys. Still a decent effort, that.
It's very quite, good stuff.
We've got it in us. It's quite funny because I think we made the list not knowing what each other were going to do.
Yeah, we did.
There are a couple of overlaps here. It's not the end of the world, but I reckon if you start from the bottom
bridge
and go up,
yes,
then that would be best.
Oh, do you think there's a bit of...
There's a little bit of overlap, but that's fine. Because if it's the same word,
it's the same
text.
Yeah.
Okay.
So right. All right, fellas.
Team Dino ready. Kai, you ready for this?
Yeah. Woken up, ready.
Okay, cool. Slept through.
All right, here we go.
You've got a minute. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, not the shallow part of the pool.
Deep end.
Yep. The liquid that we swim in.
Water.
Yep. I'm sponsored by them.
Speedo.
When you get beaten by someone and it's close, you get, like, it's a close race and they just beat you, you get...
Pips. At the wall.
Pip to the post.
Yeah, close, but exactly on the finish, what do you do to the
touch.
Wall? Yeah, so... if
touch,
you,
finish.
Oh!
Not in. What's the opposite of in?
Out.
Yes.
Touch out.
Other way around.
Out touch.
Yes. Right, the relay that I won my other gold on, not the individual.
4x2.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay, what do you wear around your ears when you walk out listening to music?
Music. Headphones.
Yeah. They mark the 5 meters from the wall thing.
Flags.
Yeah. They separate the
lane ropes.
Yeah. When you walk up, you have to check. They check your pass before you walk into the swim you're about to do. And what's that pass called?
Gets 10
you in
seconds.
Gets you in place.
ID. Identification.
Similar.
Next question. Do next one.
Okay. What do you wear?
10 seconds.
Not trunks.
Not trunks. Not training.
Racing trunks.
Yep.
I think that's nine.
And then you. That's right.
That's five.
Oh! So I think you wanted to flag one up.
By one.
Which one?
There's a questionable water. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was
liquid that swimming?
What was the answer?
Water.
What is the issue?
I don't know. I thought you said
stewards
no.
Inquiry.
No, I just couldn't believe I put water in.
Oh right. So it's actually your fault.
Why did you put water in?
We did skip. It was race accreditation.
Ooh, I'm sorry, but that was
quite
early.
That was a tough one.
Tiebreaker. I was quite surprised at how many me and Fred got. To be honest, we did.
That was good stuff.
We just watched him.
Goggles on your ears.
Oh, I'm so glad I didn't have the next one. It was Duncan Scott.
That could be edited out on the pod.
I'm joking. We love Duncan. We do love Duncan.
No, but yeah, thank you very much, boys, for getting involved. I think that was good fun.
Yeah, that was class. Thanks for featuring, fellas, and I'm sure we'll have you on as guests in the future.
No, thank you.
And I think
that's us wrapping up, isn't it? So that's the end of episode 9. Like we said, check us out on Instagram. We're doing the drop very soon, so get commenting on that photo.
You guys, we need you guys to be sharing the pod as well. Mm. What do we think of the pod?
Oh yeah, just quick thoughts.
It's great.
Big fan.
You
big
don't
fan.
Have to say that.
No.
Sure. There we go.
Maybe on that note, we should.
Cool there. All right, we'll see you guys next week. Thank you very much.